Hi, here at Latinos Who Lunch, we like to create a safe space for people to be able to openly share their stories and to talk about important issues. That being said, this episode contains conversations about sexual assault. We just wanted to warn our listeners that might be sensitive to this topic. Thank you. Hi, this is Fabi Fab.
And this is Pavelito.
And we are Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like...
¿Cómo se dice? Stay shiny.
Hello, hello, hello.
Que show, que show, que show.
How are you doing, Pavelito?
Aquí de vuelta, tragando como siempre.
Wow. Oh my gosh. And we're eating some amazing food right now. But before we introduce the food, yes, we better introduce our guest.
I was already like, okay. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Today on the show, we have Pamela Covarrubias from the Café con Pam.
And the...
podcast.
And that's Covarrubias con dos R's.
Yes.
Con R cigarro y ferrocarril.
Hi, Pam. Thank you for visiting us today.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I'm having so much fun here.
So what are you doing in Las Vegas?
I came for a bachelorette.
Otra vez. Te la pasas en bachelorette parties.
Oh my, I know, right? Pasas. We're at that age where everyone's getting married and having kids and that hashtag adulting.
Mm-hmm. But I know you also like to come to Las Vegas often, right?
I used to.
Yeah, you told me you came, what, 17 times at one time?
1 year. But that's when I partied. I've ever retired from the party scene. I don't do that anymore.
Good.
But I'll come see you next time, though. Now I have a reason to come to Vegas.
I know, right? But speaking of Vegas, every time, well, since I met you, we always go to our favorite coffee shop, Publicus. And today the show is actually sponsored by Publicus.
Yes, I love it.
And they gave us some amazing drinks. And you can get more than cafe at Publicus. You can also get food. Let's just talk about this food
for a
second. What did you have for breakfast today there?
I had an avocado toast with sausage.
Okay.
Santo niño de
y te dan atocha. Una ensalada para que no digas que no está healthy.
Uh-huh. A little fibra, you know, to help you out. And for lunch here right now, there's so much. We have this beautiful turkey sandwich that I'm eating right now. And una papa rostizada.
Una papa, because we ate the rest of them way.
We
have roasted potatoes with like this spicy ketchup. And if you guys know me, I'm obsessed with ketchup. This is really good ketchup. Also, we have this toast with cream cheese and salmon and marinated onions. Oh my God, it's just so much food. This is one of the things that I miss the most, Publicus, now that I'm in
really?
Albuquerque. Yes.
Yeah.
Because we used to go and hang out and just work there for hours. There were days that we were there for like 6 hours at a time.
No,
yes.
Manches.
Yeah, that's our hangout. So if anybody lives in Vegas and wants to find us, we're usually at Publicus. So yeah.
Downtown Las Vegas.
Yeah, make sure you check them out. They're on, I believe, Maryland Parkway and Fremont Street.
Correct.
They're open 7 days a week and some of the best coffee in Vegas, I have to say.
I'm drinking the iced shaken almond milk. So good.
And my favorite is the mocha and the death cream. And
the
I think
I'm drinking that.
And you're drinking a soap opera. What are you drinking?
Rosalinda.
No,
I think it's an Indian inspired drink, actually.
It's so
It's like turmeric. There's nutmeg, ginger, so many. It's
nutmeg, unrefined sugar.
Yes.
¿Cómo se dice nutmeg en español?
Nuez moscada.
Ah, la de...
Mírala.
Wow.
Mascada, no moscada.
Moscada.
Ajá.
The drink is called Rosalila.
Rosalila.
Rasa. R-A-S-A.
No, that sounds like raza.
Pero yeah. Si es raza.
It's like rosa.
No, es raza, güey.
Es Rosalila. Güey.
So anyway, thank you.
As you guys can tell, Pamela and us are already like best buddies.
We're best buddies.
Bonded.
Mm-hmm. And we're so excited because we're also going to be on your podcast soon.
Very soon. Yeah. So stay tuned to hear the story of the Latinos Who Lunch. It's really, it was a little different than my regular show because we talked about everything. I mean, your story, your backgrounds and stuff, but people already know you. So we had a chance to explore more.
Yeah. It was fun. It was fun.
So for those of you who don't know you and don't know the podcast, tell us a little bit more about Café con Pam. How did it start? And what are some of the like central topics that you always bring into your conversations?
Café con Pam is the podcast where we feature fearless Latinas, Latinos, Latinx, and people of color who are changing barriers and making the world a better place. And the reason why I started is because I was an avid podcast listener. I was traveling a lot and I was finding myself listening to wonderful shows, but they were all hosted by white men. And
beige.
Yeah. And like always the top podcasts were always white men, you know? And
yeah.
And I, in the field that I was in, I was traveling, I was finding myself in rooms full of white men. So I felt that my world was a woman of color, short, young, in a room of suited white men, or even sometimes not because it was in the construction industry, but still. And so I wanted to find something that allowed me to see my brown people, to connect with them and to showcase them, to see that it's not just the white men who are making a difference and changing lives and doing good things.
And how long have you been doing the podcast?
Since November. So that was my birthday gift.
I think we all had the similar thought, epiphany around the same time, because it went from, what, 4 or 5 podcasts to 30, I'm going to say right now, that I think I was counting the other day. Yes,
yeah.
At least Latino podcasts. And I think seeing yourself represented out there, it's very, very important. Yeah. The fact that you bring every single episode, you bring a different guest to give different perspectives about our identity. That is super important. It's so exciting. Yes.
Because I'm also aware, whatever, of how, and we talked about it in the show that we're going to do of you guys, how we all come from different stories.
Yeah.
And how we are classified as Latinos, but as Latinos, within Latinos, there's like millions of different types of Latinos, you know?
Yes.
So it was important to me. And so it was important to me to show that not everyone's Mexican and not everyone is, you know, cleaning houses. And we, let me not get into that. Like we do like wonderful things and we are doing wonderful things. And I've brought to my show people who are known a lot, and people who are not necessarily known, but they're definitely making changing lives.
Yes.
So that's important to me to make sure that the and I don't want to say the big people and the small people, but the people who are widely recognized are recognized, and the people who are not are also recognized. So I do interviews to answer your question. All that to say.
And you're based out of San Diego?
Yes, I am in sunny San Diego.
Were you born and raised there?
I was not. I was born in LA and grew up in Mexico City, in La Ciudad de Mexico.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
How were you when you moved here?
I was in high school, like 14, 15.
Oh, yes. What we're saying. We're just, we're just talking about how we moved here to the States around the same age. How was that? How was that transition?
It was a shock.
As a teenager.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Yes.
Well, it was a shock because my whole life, lo mismo, yo no soy ni de aquí ni de allá, you know? Mm-hmm. Because in Mexico, I was never different. Porque había estado, like, I was, can I Spanglish a lot?
Yeah, of course.
Dale. No pierdas el tino.
Como salga. I was, porque si lo pierdes, pierdes el camino.
Y valió madre.
La piñata tiene caca, vámonos.
But I was in Mexico, I was just Mexican, right?
Yeah.
And then I got here and it's like, wait, you were born here but you don't speak English. So again, the classification of who are you? And I was in ESL classes and I was in classes with undocumented students, and I have friends who are still undocumented. And it was an interesting transition because that's also when my parents were separated, divorcing, and like there was a lot going on that had in my life. So I had to not only like having an identity of who I was and I was dealing with that, but also I was transferring schools, different country, different people. I had to deal with people just classifying me something different that I had never, you know, like, what? I'm ESL yeah. student now? What does that mean?
Yeah.
You know? And so, it was different. It was, now that I look at it, it was hard. At the time, I guess we're just survivors, you know, we're warriors and you just go with it.
Totally.
So I had to go with it. And I'm the oldest, so I always have to be strong.
How many is it brothers and sisters?
I have one little sister and one little brother.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know that. And they all moved with you at the same time?
Yes. So okay. My dad left and my mom said, okay, you don't want to be with us? Let's bring the kids to LA. She moved us.
Vámonos.
Así.
Órale, cabrones. Todos juntos.
Todos juntos.
So you just mentioned a construction job that you worked with.
Yes.
But are you still doing that or what?
I am not. I'm a full-time self-employed person now. Yes.
Entrepreneur.
Gotta do what you gotta do. And I was actually having this conversation with a friend the other day that I am, and I don't like saying this, but I am multifaceted. Mm-hmm. I'm a photographer. I'm a graphic designer. I'm a podcaster. I can public speak. And I'm also an artist. I paint too. And I was having... Also, now that I'm grown and adult, I had this like, what am I? You know, when people ask you, what do you do? And somebody said, well, you can say I'm a multifaceted entrepreneur. And I'm like, I'm a mess.
That's our first our first reaction as Latinas. We're
How am I going to? Yes.
Yeah. We mentioned a little bit in the health episode when we're like, oh, no, we're not depressed. Like we can get over it or whatever.
Right.
Like we don't. It's like a different language that
we
you have to
ourselves.
Adapt to. Yes, exactly.
And we grow up to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to I'm still dealing with it. So I do a lot.
Yeah.
Tell me what you need and I'll help you out.
Perfect.
Do it.
We need a lot of help over here.
Okay.
¿Y por qué me volteó a ver a mi culera? Yeah.
I mean, es obvio, ¿no? Pero, yeah, and so we love connecting with you because you're also a big supporter of other podcasts.
Yes.
And that's huge for Latinos Who Lunch because when Babelito and I first started this, we said, not only do we want to be a voice, but we want to help bring other voices out. And we see you doing that all the time on your show. So that's why if you haven't checked out Café con Pam, go. She's on the internet everywhere, like you should be. And yeah.
And now that what happened with me is that I had a job that was really taxing. Mm-hmm. And I had to be 100%, 200% there. So I was doing the show because that was the food for my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I only had time to record and post. I had no time to be involved. I had no time to like really do much. And so my show was neglected for a little bit as far as the social media side.
Yeah.
But now that I have the time and I'm putting the time on it, now follow me, guys.
And you do have a following. I see that in your in your stories. And that's awesome because I see you growing and growing every day.
Yeah.
And that's pretty exciting. I want to learn a little bit more about some of your guests. And I have one particularly in mind, and that's Priscilla, the humble therapist. I was just listening to one of the episodes and it really helped me because it really is like a form of therapy, just listening. You guys were talking about breakups.
Yes.
But when you talk about breakups, it wasn't just with your significant
emotional
other.
Really,
yes, it will be with friends. But tell me a little bit more about how this relationship with the humble therapist started.
Well, you know, I'm big on collaborations. I'm more collaborative than... ¿Cuál es el otro? Competitive.
¿Cómo se dice?
¿Cómo se dice?
¿Cómo se dice competitive?
That was one of the reasons why I fell in love with you because she kept saying, ay, ¿cómo se dice? ¿Cómo se dice? I'm like, that's me.
That's a bilingual struggle, right?
Yes.
I always have a word in one language or the other. But I'm very collaborative. And every time I need somebody, I'm always like, let's do something together. I don't know what we're going to do, but I want to do something to help you out. And at the same time, you help me out. But to me, it's giving out what I can. Because for a long time, as I was growing up, for a long time, as I was dealing with a lot of the things that I had to deal with, I found myself alone. And so now that I am healed and I have this responsibility, I feel like, to give back and to allow others to shine. And so I met the humble therapist. She's actually my neighbor.
Ah.
She's my upstairs neighbor. Yeah. And she is the humble therapist online. She has a Tumblr where she's had it for years. And basically people can ask her questions. It's a safe place to ask questions as far as therapy goes. And I was talking to her about therapy and Latinos not being really open about, ¿cómo se dice? Mental health.
Just say it in Spanish, girl.
Yeah.
And she told me, you know, she's Mexican, and she was like, I see it. And she also has an incredible story that when you meet her, you're going to like, sonido para atrás, because she's so strong after all she's gone through. And she's also so giving. And so as we were talking, I was like, you know, why don't you come to my show once a month? Because I feel like if Latinos are hearing me, if the community and whoever is listening, you know, I feel like even in the I have a lot of black friends, and even in the black community, it's so like, no therapy, like you kind of get over it. Mm-hmm. And so she was like, I'm down. I was like, come once a month. We talk about mental health and we help others get through it, yeah. Get over it. Because I asked my aunts and uncles and I was like, what do you think about a psychologist? And they were like, es para los locos, you know?
And it's also a class thing. Like,
yeah, like, oh, we can't afford
rich,
it.
That's for rich people that just...
It's bien caro.
Yeah, bien caro, yeah.
But at the end of the day, is to have a voice to talk to. And that's one of the things that I find with your podcast, is just having that consistent voice, your voice, but also having that consistent voice once a month.
Yes.
I think it's very important for a lot of people, because now I know that people look forward to those episodes because it's becomes a familiar space for them. And many times and that's one of the reasons why some people that listen to us say like, oh, I'm answering back as I'm listening in my car.
Right.
And that's
right.
What I was doing with that podcast. I'm like, yes, yes, I do that. I'm that asshole friend. Like, I totally disconnect, but I you guys couldn't answer me back.
Right.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, so I love that your podcast is a platform for, you know, having not only serious conversations, but also we were talking about it with you, being accessible and just kind of, you know, having these safe spaces to talk about real issues that people are afraid to talk about because,
correct.
You know, mental health is made fun of so much. We even made fun of it on one podcast and that was, we realized
and
that.
And then I was driving, responding.
We are still dealing with it.
Yeah. But Pam, last time you were here, you shared with me that you actually have a story that you want to share with Latinos Who Lunch.
Well, yeah. Because you also had a response to something that you said.
we had an incident on our podcast where one of our guests talked about sexual assault in a very
light way,
like made a joke of sexual assault. And, you know, I was just listening and I didn't correct her and I didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. So then that spurred up this conversation between Babelito and I, like, damn, well, we're living in a culture where this is just accepted, where the person in the White House is speaking about women in derogatory ways. And it's just locker room talk, you know,
and you get over it.
And I said, we really need to have an episode where we talk about this. And so, you know, we're always bringing up the patriarchy and we're part of that system. So we also enforce those stereotypes and enforce those norms
and misconducts. Yes.
Yeah. And misconducts because, you know, we all grew up in it. So not only men, but women also.
Yeah. And sometimes women could be worse.
Yeah.
And gay men too. We were talking about this, the misogyny in the gay community. And we start noticing because we're starting to follow a lot of gay pages from Mexico, and the racism and the misogyny is incredible. But it's almost like you will attach yourself to one group of oppressed people, if you want to call it like that. I mean, that's the wrong word. And somehow you feel free to do whatever else.
Right.
And that's
they use
so
that as a clutch
up.
To
exactly
like, because I'm on the oppressed side, I can just bash everyone else.
Yeah. And I get it. Exactly. Yes. Yes.
So yeah. So I really, I mean, sexual assault is something very serious, and it's something that I think a lot of people just don't even want to talk about, but it affects not only the Latino community, it's cross-cultural.
Everybody.
For sure.
Yes.
Nobody takes sexual assault seriously, and it affects so many people.
One out of five.
One out of five people. And you know, I'm actually nervous right now talking to you about this because I don't want to say something ignorant, right? But there,
But this is a safe space,
yeah. and we're here to learn, and we're here to learn with you. And Babelito and I have been doing a lot of research and online because, you know, Google it loca, right? And because you can learn if you really want to, right?
There are a lot of resources out there for people to really get involved. Yes.
Yeah, and a lot of the websites that I looked up online, they really emphasize listening to survivor stories, because mm-hmm. the more people come out with their stories, the more courage it gives people to talk about what they've been through. Because if we don't talk about it, you know, it's this thing that doesn't exist, but it's everywhere.
It's buried.
And as you say, we keep recreating the patriarchy and nothing gets done. So the fact that you, we thank you that first of all that you're here, but also that you find this as a safe space. But why don't you tell us a little bit more?
I had an incident of a date rape. I knew the guy. I met him. It was the second time we hung out, and he was quote safe because he was a friend of a friend. A friend of a friend of a friend. And we met. He asked me on a date. We met and this happened in my 20s, by the way. So this is not in college. This is after.
Mm-hmm. And how old are you now?
I'm 31.
Okay.
Yeah. And when people ask me exactly when it happened, I say it happened in my 20s because you have 7 years to report it. I didn't report it. So I know people that love me, they'll want to do something. And it happened in my 20s, and we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
So we had a date. He picked me up at a mall because we met halfway through, or I don't remember. And I'm so nervous.
It's okay. Take your time.
Yeah.
And we went to dinner. He took me to a Mexican restaurant. And we started drinking tequila. You know, obviously, he had to give tequila to the Mexican girl. Mm. You know, that's how you start. Así llega. And so...
Mezcal o algo, ¿no?
No, tequila.
Algo más sofisticado, yeah.
I know. And I remember that he was just feeding me drinks. And I got drunk. Mm-hmm. After dinner, we went to Dave & Buster's. And we played. And we played for a long time until I remember the lights turned on, like they were closed.
Oh.
And he was a lot of fun. He was charming. He was cute. He felt safe. You know, he knew the people that I knew. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I realized that I was so drunk. It was the end of the day and I had to go home, and I was in halfway through LA, and I had to go to see my grandma in LA. And I'm responsible as far as driving. And so I told him, drop me off in my car and I'll drive. I'll take a nap there until I'm ready to drive, and then and then I'll go home. And he said, no, we'll go somewhere else so you can sober up a little. So we went to another bar, and that was still, yeah. And I believe I had another drink. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I was like, dude, I'm still not able to drive. And he was like, okay, don't worry, it's going to be okay. And then he started driving, and I was like, well, just drop me off in my car. Like, it's fine. Just drop me off in my car. And he was like, no, it's going to be okay. And next thing I know is we're getting out of the car in a hotel. And I remember getting in the elevator, and this is when I felt fear. And
like, this is a moment where the safe space
wasn't safe anymore.
Yes.
And this is the fear that I felt when I was little, when my dad was drunk, driving, falling asleep on the way. Mm. And that was the fear that I had again. And I didn't want to feel that fear again. And that cute, charming guy wasn't charming anymore. And he kept saying to me, it's going to be okay. And I felt just, I had no way. I was in an elevator. So um, So next thing I know, we get out of the elevator and walked into the room. And I remember it was cold. It was dark. It was a hotel room. And he didn't even bother to turn the lights on. I stayed by the door and I was like, I don't want to be here. And he said, it's going to be fine. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And there was a little couch in front of the bed. So I stood by the couch and he was like, no, come over. He was already taking his clothes off. And I was like, no, I don't want to. I don't want to be here. And he was like, it's going to be fine. And I was like, okay. And then I realized that I couldn't go anywhere. So I was like, okay, I'll sleep on the couch. That's all I need to do is I need to sleep. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, come over. You're going to be fine. And I walked over, took my shoes off, and I sat by the edge of the bed. And then next thing I know, he's taking my clothes off, and I kept asking him to stop. And I said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And it didn't matter what I said. He was in a mission. And I mean, I said no multiple times. I asked him to stop. I begged him to stop, and he kept going. And next thing I know is he took a piece of my soul, because he was inside of me and he was just doing what he wanted. And at the time I didn't know what had happened because I was drunk. Mm-hmm. Because in the end I realized that this man is on top of me with all his strength. He's bigger than me, he's stronger than me, and it doesn't matter how much I fight, he knows what he wants to do. Yeah. And it doesn't matter. Like, I've already told him no multiple times. So I give in. Mm-hmm. And the next morning, good?
Yeah, okay. We're good.
And the next morning, we wake up and I mean, I realized that I wasn't the same. Like, something had changed in me.
Completely, yeah.
And I didn't know what it was. And he dropped me off by my car finally after I asked for the night before. And you really don't know what happened. After you go through that, you don't know. Like, it's almost like you're in a cloud in a dream that, like, did this really happen? And
it's like your mind and your body needs time to process.
Got taken away.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, really. And so the first thing I did was get in my car and I drove to the nearest gym. The 24 Fitness or whatever that, mm-hmm. you know, you can go to anyone, you have a membership. So I went to I found the nearest, and this is all happening without me thinking. I found the nearest gym. I went and I showered and I showered and I showered for hours. And I don't remember how long I showered for. And I was crying. I was cleaning myself. I couldn't clean myself enough of what had happened. And then I went home to see my grandma and I had to be strong because that's what I do, right? You have to be strong and you have to be a warrior and you have to just keep going. And I had to be strong and I have to keep it together. And life went on, right? And then I had to deal with my friends not believing that it happened because he was a known person. He was safe, right? No, he wouldn't do that. Because the next time I saw friends that knew him, like, how did it go? I was like, well, we had sex, but I didn't want to have sex. No, you didn't. Yes, you did. You wanted to. You liked him. Yes, you did. And I was like, no, but I didn't. Yes, you did. You're fine. Mm. And mm-mm. So, like, you know, when people say that significant others can mind fuck you, friends can also mind fuck you.
Yeah.
And I had to deal with my friends not believing that this had happened. And so then I started believing that I consented, right? And
which prolongs, I imagine that will prolong
the healing for sure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because then I was ashamed. Then it was my fault. Then I got too drunk. I shouldn't have taken so much alcohol. Like,
yeah,
you start creating these things. And finally I told one of my therapy friends and she said, well, you said no, right? And I'm like, yeah, I said no multiple times. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, then you said no and he raped you.
Yeah.
And that's when it almost like the door, the window was open and the air came in and like there was a breath of like Like, it's real. Like, it really did happen. I'm not tripping.
Yeah, you're able to define your trauma. Yeah.
Yeah, like, uh-huh. I'm not just lost, you know, waiting for something to come. Like, it really, it's real. And then that's when I started seeking help. And it was once again, because you have to confirm it many times. Because you grow and you think about it so long that it's your fault. You like... give the fault to yourself so much that you have to get a confirmation many, many times that it's not your fault, mm-hmm. that it didn't matter what you did and didn't matter what you wore. It didn't matter. He made that choice. And so therapy and a lot of healing and self-healing and meditation and many things that I had to do to get over this. And I mean, I still get teary because it's still a scar that I carry.
Correct.
So, but that's how it happened.
So let's just get a little bit into what you did after to heal. What are the steps that you took?
Well, I spoke to a safe, non-judging friend because mm-hmm. I had to deal with like, no, it's a giddy.
Somebody that didn't know the other person.
And just for people that are listening, how important was for you to find that space?
Oh my gosh. Because otherwise you carry this burden, you carry this guilt mm-hmm. And you carry this like stigma and this like, it's como una mancha que tienes, you know, like you're worthless because someone took advantage of you mm-hmm. almost. And so finding that person who was able to listen to me without like a judgment free, completely listen and really affirmed what I had believed, kind of, that helped. And then I seek therapy and then I went to the RAIN mm-hmm. and I talked to counselors there. And they confirmed it once again.
And what is RAIN?
It's the Rape, Abuse, and NCIS National Network.
Okay.
And they have great resources.
Yeah, their website is incredible. And mm-hmm. that's one of the things that I keep coming back from a lot of the different parts of the website, that listening, I think, is one of the most important aspects, listening and believing, because it's the two things that we don't do. We don't listen and we don't believe. Right. And that's exactly what you're explaining.
Yes. And it's often, especially because most of the times a sexual abuse happens from someone you know. Yeah. So it's hard for someone who knows that person to believe that they were capable of doing it.
And when I listen to your story, I hear that. I hear a stranger that became a non-stranger and then he proceeded. And the thing about it is that's, I think, is one of the biggest problems, because when you identify somebody as a non-stranger, somehow, no, it's impossible. They cannot do that. And it's almost like a whole process that this guy did.
Yes. Yeah. And I decided not to report. So that was the choice that I made. And I encourage listeners, if you know someone who has gone through it and they decide not to report, to leave it at that.
To respect that.
Yes.
Yes.
Because having someone literally go inside of you and then have to go through that again is not easy. Mm. And having to go, I mean, I'm telling you the story now and I'm telling you the story. Yeah. Reporting it involves getting interrogated about it, having to see him again. So it's a series of things that if you're not ready to do, you're not ready to do. And people should not encourage it. And a lot of times I've told a couple of people, and one guy friend that I told, he was like, dime quién es para madrearlo, you know?
Mm. Yeah, me too.
Instinto Latino. Let me know. I mean, I was thinking that I'm like, hijo de la chingada.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to get my brothers.
And he was like, and I'm like, look. Having him beat up or what, like retaliation, is not going to return that piece of me that he took.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the love and I appreciate the wanting to get him or whatever. But to me, after forgiving him, it's easier to just forgive him and let him go. You know, and he has his own karma and his own, he'll pay for it, you know?
Yeah, and obviously this wasn't the first time. This was very premeditated, first of all. Mm-hmm. And to me, it didn't seem like it was the first time he'd done this, right? So I don't know. But to me, it looked like he knew exactly what he was doing. Exactly. And that comes from a pattern. I mean, we live in a culture where that kind of stuff happens all the time. Like time, like when I was in college, I would see it. Like, dude, you probably shouldn't take that girl home. Like, she doesn't even know where she is.
Yeah,
that's not consensual sex you're about to have. You know. And I remember kind of having those conversations, but, you know, it's just accepted. Like, oh, well, we're both fucked up. Like, it's, mm-hmm. you know.
And she couldn't even say yes, yeah. but she opened her legs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
And I think that's one of I think that's an important thing. Listening, believing, and reducing stigma.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that we live in a rape culture where we reinforce the patriarchy at every turn of our cultural production everywhere. When it comes to TV, when it comes to radio, when it comes to this, when it comes to that. And we don't even understand that. And when you raise the patriarchy above that, then the stigma keeps getting bigger and mm-hmm. bigger and bigger. And there's nothing to do. So when you have this sort of events, then the healing process that should be extended within a community, not just in one single person, because it should be all of our responsibility. It's very, very, it becomes this complicated thing that it shouldn't be.
Right.
Yeah. And the biggest thing that I find really messed up is that when these things happen, usually the woman is shamed for it.
Oh, for sure. Because we oversexualize women.
Yeah.
You know, like we see naked women all the time. And then with that patriarchy and the culture that we live in, it's the woman's fault. You know, she was too naked. She was too drunk. Mm-hmm. She was showing too much.
And it's no matter.
Le dio cuerda o le abrió la puerta, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it's no matter. I was listening to the episode that you had recently with Jorge and
Nancy.
And when they got pregnant, when they were in high school, and what happened? They blamed her for ruining
his life.
Excuse me?
Dios mío.
And she's the one having the baby. She's the one that had to leave school.
Right.
But they ruined a young man's life. What a promising. Are you sure you want to report that? Because you're going to ruin that guy's life.
Oh, yeah.
¿Y qué pasó con la vida tuya? Like, that's crazy.
There was an incident in a TV show, a local TV show in Juarez. I don't know if you heard of this.
Mm-mm.
There was an incident where there were two conductores. It was a guy and a girl. And in one of the episodes, the guy kept pushing onto her. Pushing onto her to the point where he started touching her and then on air. And she said, I get the jokes and this and that. And we're just like here having fun. But like, this is it. Now you touch me. Like, this is
abuse.
Yes, exactly. And it went viral. It went viral and everybody heard about it. And the whole thing developed for several weeks. But it seemed like people pushed her to say that everything was made up so they get more ratings. But at the end, guess who got fired?
He did. She did.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we're talking about, the stigma and...
And it happens. I mean, I see it happen all the time with...
El güey que violó a la niña.
Yeah.
That you're made me mad.
Yeah, you're going to ruin that young man's life. I don't even remember his name. But when it comes to like domestic violence or when there's children involved and, you know, people just don't, they hide it. They don't report it.
And they put up with it, yeah.
And that's because the laws don't take rape seriously. I was just listening to a podcast, so another round.
Yes.
Recently.
I listened to that episode.
Where they talk about like the state laws are different everywhere, right? So there's a certain period where you have to report sexual assault and do a kit.
Yeah, because you say 6 to 7 years,
that's
right?
Yeah, California. Yeah. Oh, okay. But some states...
Or less, more.
In 30 days, they throw away
six months. Yeah.
They throw away the kit if nothing happens, right?
And sometimes they don't even review the kits.
Exactly. I read a statistic there's like there's like 100,000 kits that are just untested.
They're just there.
They're just there in the United States. Yeah.
What's the point of suffering through that trauma over and over again? Finding the guts to go and denounce it for nothing to happen.
Right.
Dios mío.
And I think that's why a lot of women also don't report it. Also because of retaliation. Because most times it's from somebody who you know. And so it's not fearing the retaliation from that person after you report that him or her or whatever, but also from the people who know that person, like, what are they going to think? You know, like I dealt with it with the people that knew him, like, no, he wouldn't do that. You wanted it. Right. So that's when I was like, I'm not going to report it, because then like everyone's going to be turned against me.
Yeah.
Because it was my fault. I was too drunk. I was, you know, this. And then you start pointing fingers at yourself for something, for a choice that he made.
Damn. That's very real. It happens all the time. And let's talk about ways to, well, first of all, talking about it is one way to prevent it. Because education is key.
Yes.
And nobody really, like I said, nobody really talks about it.
Yes.
But when you went through your therapy and your healing process, tell us a little bit something about what you learned and you know, ways that anybody can help, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, everyone heals different.
Yeah.
And some people cry, some people get angry, and you go through like different stages. And I forgive people really easily. And so I forgave them, because to me, it's important to forgive, because if I don't forgive, then I have this bad energy in me and that's going to prevent me from healing. A lot of people don't understand that, and they just get angry at that person who took that piece of them. So definitely listening. If someone comes up to you and says, you know, this happened to me, don't judge, listen, and allow them to share it with you however they want to share it. Don't question it. I also shared it with someone, and it was a man, and he said, well, I have a lot of questions. And I was like, okay, ask away, right?
I'll bring him on. Yeah.
And the questions were, why didn't you report him? Why didn't you keep saying no? Why didn't you punch him in the face? Why didn't you hit him in the nuts? And I'm like, why don't you put yourself under a man that's penetrating you and tell me what would you do?
Exactly.
Damn.
You know?
Yeah.
So you can't question, you cannot question the choice that the survivor did. Why don't you question the choice that the rapist did? You know, why don't you go back and say, why didn't you listen when she said no?
Yes.
Yeah.
So if someone comes up to you and says, this happened to me, just listen, direct them to professionals, because as a friend, we get emotional. And if it's someone that you care about and they tell you, the first instinct is like, who did it? Tell me so I can beat him up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the right thing to do, because it's retaliation and that's not good. Mm-hmm. So definitely listen and send them to a professional, because that's, you don't want to get emotional with it, and allow them to heal. And remind the person that it's not their fault, because it's the first thing you do is you question what happened and you relate it to the choices that you made.
Yeah.
And when it first happens, you're not able to realize that it's a choice that the other person made.
Yeah.
So remind the person that it's not their fault. Like, whether it's a sexual assault or domestic violence, it's not, it doesn't matter what the person does. Whoever's doing the damage, it's their choice. Por eso tenemos libre albedrío, right? So we can make choices.
Yeah.
And a woman could be like screaming at you on your face, and that doesn't give anyone the reason to beat her up or to sexually assault her.
And I think also to understand, I think our job will be to guide, as you said, to guide people to counselors, and for people to understand that there's a lot of resources out there for
that. A lot.
When we were working on our research, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of places, there's a lot of line, there's a lot of people on the other side waiting to listen to your story and to believe you.
Yes.
And as you say, like, the first time somebody believed you, that's when the healing process started for you. I mean, and that could be something, could be from the next day or in like in 20 years, whenever you feel safe and ready, understand that there are people waiting to help and listen to you. And I think that's important.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I also want to talk a little bit about why you wanted to share this story on our podcast opposed to sharing it on your own podcast. Because we did have a little bit of a conversation beforehand, and, you know, talking about this kind of victim mentality that a lot of us fall into. But why did you think, why haven't you shared this story on your podcast yet?
Because I don't want to be the girl that got raped. because it's easy, right? Mm-hmm. Just like we talked about mm-hmm. you guys being gay. You don't want to be, oh, let's listen to the gay guys podcast. Because you're way more than that, right? So I wanted my audience to know who I am before I'm the girl who got raped, you know? I wanted my audience to, not to like me, but to know who I am, you know?
You're like, an entrepreneur. You said it yourself. Yes.
Besides me, you know, then I'll help you with my strength and with my scars and with my shiningness.
Yeah.
But but that's... after you get to know me for who I am.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between a victim and a survivor, right? And I like this language that people are using when referring to these situations.
Yes.
Like, you are a survivor. You're not a victim of that rape.
I've heard also thriver.
Oh, hey. Yeah. Yes, and we need to keep hearing these stories from survivors.
Yes.
Because that's what you are. Like that incident doesn't define you.
Absolutely. And that's what I didn't want.
Exactly.
And that's why I never talk about it on my show. Cause I'm not self-egoista, you know, I don't want to be the center of attention. I want to share other stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I have this responsibility, but then when my audience is ready, which is now, when I'm then they'll know the story.
Yeah.
And this is why I say this day shining thing.
Yeah. Yeah. At the end of every podcast, you say, stay shining. Where does that come from?
That comes from that sculpture by... Se me olvidó el nombre, ya te digo. Siempre. ¿Cómo se dice? Es una escultura de this woman. It's it's a woman in a lotus position, and it's Paige Bradley. She has a sculpture that is broken and has a light inside of her. And when I saw that, that's when I was going through my healing process. And I realized that I was carrying emotional scars for many things, not just my incident, but also because my dad left when I was little. Because, you know, I had to move to a new country because I had to learn a second language. Mm-hmm. So I have all these, like, emotional scars that are invisible that I'm carrying with me. And I said it before that scar tissue is stronger than skin. So when people say, you know, oh, I know, es que me duele, I just went through this. Well, remember, you have a scar now. And scar tissue is stronger than skin. If you touch a scar and you touch a piece of skin, it's stronger, way stronger. More, you know, it's más dura, pues.
Sí.
And so when I saw this sculpture and this woman shining, I realized that through my emotional scars, I was shining through and I was allowing others to get that light. And that's why I say people stay shining.
Amazing. And you're that's passing awesome. That light on.
Right.
Right. Which is amazing.
And that's why I'm so like, let's bring everyone together.
Yeah, for sure.
So there's a reason for everything that I do.
And I like this idea, this notion of redefining your identity, because again, people want to box people.
Right.
We tend to do that. That's our messed up French legacy, but enlightened French legacy. But the reality is that it's almost like every 10 years something will happen. Like you say, you migrated to this country, you have to learn a language, and you have to constantly redefine your identity of who you are. And I think that's something that we have to keep in mind. And we talked about it with your art, Favi, and we talked about it with what I'm trying to do in the classroom. It's that as long as we don't box each other and our stories and our histories, and we understand that we're in a constant process. As human beings, our identity are always being processed
evolving.
For good or for bad, but we're always evolving each other. And I think it's important to know that to take some negative things that might have happened in your life and make them your own for your own identity, for your own purpose, and for your own advancement. So the idea of thriving, I like that very much. It's awesome.
Yeah, porque si no, ¿cómo avanzamos?
Exactly. And on that note, let's take a break.
This is intense.
I need a drink of water. Can you give us a little outro music here?
Today's episode is brought to you by the original Lindo Michoacan.
Oh my God. Lindo Michoacán. I mean, we've talked about it on the podcast
so
before.
So many times, but so good. It's worth. Wait, la sopa de fideo?
Yes.
Mira.
What?
La pruebo.
Uh-huh.
Y caigo en un abismo de pasión.
Oh my God, eres una pendeja.
I love it.
No, but for real, like the chips and salsa there, the beans.
Todo, güey.
The beans.
Todo. Yes.
You can always judge a Mexican restaurant by the beans.
Exactly.
If they're good.
And you know it's, I was going to say authentic. And you know it's good.
Authentico.
Because that's the first thing they serve you when you arrive to the restaurant. So.
I know. And so we're really excited to announce a partnership with Lindo Michoacán, the original one, on Desert Inn. They are giving Latinos Who Lunch listeners a 25% discount.
Vámonos pues.
Bye.
Adiós.
So if you go to Lindo Michoacán, the original Lindo Michoacán on Desert Inn here in Las Vegas, make sure you mention that you are a Latinos Who Lunch listener. They will give you 25% off.
That's
a lot.
That's a lot of
I'm getting an egg on my torta. I'm getting the tableside guacamole.
So if you eat four times a week there, you save a whole meal.
Oh my God. it's the best deal in town. And if you're not sure where it is, just follow your nose. Like, it's going to take you right to Lindo.
When you get out of the airport, when you get out of the plane, la nariz.
Just go straight to Lindo Michoacán. Or just Google it, just to be safe.
Google it, okay.
All right, so again, the original Lindo Michoacán at 2655 East Desert Inn Road here in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. Lindo Michoacán, save water, drink margaritas. And we're back. So it's time for recommendations. Do you have any recommendations? We'll ask you first, Bam, because you're a guest.
I want to recommend everyone to, if you're able, to go to Ensenada, Baja California and visit La Guerrerense. And that is a restaurant that is run by Sabina Bandera, Doña Sabina, who is amazing, and her daughter Mariana.
Yeah.
They're a two team now. She's her right hand, and they have 14, 15, 16 different types of ceviche.
Oh.
Yes, dude. I tried like three or four different kinds. No mames. It was so good.
I love that episode where you interviewed her.
She was realist. She was so
the
real.
The realist. Yeah.
Because I was like, what happened? You know, she told me when, I'll let people listen to it, but she gave me so many lessons.
Yeah.
You know, because something bad happened to her and I was like, what did you do? And she was like, what I know how to do. Work.
Mm-hmm.
You get up and you work. And I was like, damn. Okay.
I love when she was saying when she didn't have enough help. Y se servía la gente.
Sí.
You know, and the guy was like, well, how do you know if I get too much? You know, she's like, pues te cobro más. Like, like don't try me.
Yeah, she's so real. She was recently at the Sabor Latino in San Diego because right now this is going to air later, but they have the San Diego Latino Film Festival.
Mm.
And I'm doing like an episode on it, and they do an opening event, which they bring chefs from all over, like down in Baja in San Diego, and they serve food. And she was there, and her food is awesome. It's different. You know, she won like the world de comida de calle.
Oh, yeah.
She won first place.
That's amazing.
Wow.
In Asia, right? It was in
Singapore, I think?
In Singapore, yeah.
Working
and they had to import tortillas from Australia because they ran out because so many people were eating their ceviche.
Because Mexican food is a shit.
Mm-hmm. Right? I know. Mm-hmm. So I do want to recommend if...
Say the name of the restaurant.
La Guerrerense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you look her up, she's everywhere. It's like laguerrerense.mx, I believe.
Awesome. We'll put
Guerrerense, double R's, people.
Don't mess with those double R's. And Babelito, how about you?
I am going to... I have my mouth
masticando.
Full
boca llena, corazón contento.
Tú primero.
Well, I just want to go back to that another round episode. If you haven't listened to that podcast, get your life together. But it's episode 85 where they actually get into the statistics of sexual assault and also how you can prevent it. And just I like how in depth they get about the laws.
Good.
And that's another podcast that's amazing because they talk about very serious issues, mostly about race, but it's two women And I believe one of them is queer, which is really awesome. But they always have guests on there that drop some serious knowledge. So it's BuzzFeed's Another Round with Heaven and Tracy.
My recommendation today is to go to the rain.org website and spend time with it. If you suspect of this happening within your community, not to push the victims, but to understand and to be informed and to be prepared.
Yeah.
Because you can spend hours on that website and they break down everything, and there are sections in Spanish. That is another thing that I wanted to bring up, that to understand that there are resources for our community as mm-hmm. well, that they can go and read some of these issues and details in detail in different languages. And that's yes. important to understand, that to know that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. And I think that us understanding that you were coming here and that we wanted to prepare ourselves with a language, just spending time with this website, we learned so much. And for that, we're blessed, and it's a privilege. And thank you very much for that.
Can I say one last thing?
Yes.
Please don't use the word rape loosely.
Exactly. Yeah.
I hear it all the time, and it makes my soul clench when people just loosely say, oh, don't rape me.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Don't say that, please.
No.
You don't know who that's going to be triggered.
It triggers. Yeah, exactly. It can trigger someone. And that's nothing to joke about. That's another way, you know, it's another way to kind of to reinforce the patriarchy, just to be able to joke about rape like that, which is not cool.
It's not.
Yeah.
And it's real issues that are really happening.
Yeah. And again, just to clarify, the website is rain.org. It's RAINN.org. And if you want to read it in Spanish, it's /ES. And also, if you can't read like me, they have a lot of amazing graphics and videos. So
they have a phone number too. I have the number. It's 1-800-656-HOPE, which is 4673. They also have a chat.
Oh, cool.
So if you feel like I actually chatted with someone when online? I was at work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And I was at work and I was like, I have to talk to someone right now. And they're always available.
Awesome. Well, I'm just really, I'm really, really honored that you came here and felt that this was a safe space for you to tell your story.
Thank you.
That is really awesome. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk about this very, very important issue for you, of course, personally, but to 1 in 5 people that listen to this podcast.
Yes.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. And again, what Justin said, Favi said.
Híjole.
No me.
Esta pendeja es
que. Ya llevamos.
Yeah, this is like episode 35. Y ni.
I was eating and I fell into an abismo de pasión.
Con el publicas.
I cannot put my stuff
together. Fue pensar.
Pero neta que no. Anyway.
It is good.
By the way, sorry, I interrupted
no,
you.
No, dile.
Pam totally called me out on her podcast for being mean to Babelito, and it was a beautiful moment because she totally caught me off guard.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, unexpected. Okay, so we're doing this right now.
Okay, so yeah, that's going to be fun to listen to. God.
So again, Pamela, muchísimas gracias. De todo corazón, te lo agradecemos mucho. Y ten en cuenta que aquí tienes un espacio donde siempre eres bienvenida. And we can't wait to see what we're going to do in the future.
Yeah,
wink.
We're excited. Oh, hey. Right?
Give us, okay, now it's your turn to just give us the breakdown. Tell us all your social media handles. You're an entrepreneur. So let us know, what can we buy from you? Give us everything.
All of it.
We're ready for it.
You're ready for it. Just go to spreadideasmovepeople.com. That's my website. Also, my motto, my passion, my tagline is mm-hmm. to spread ideas, move people. And what does that mean? Is that through spreading everyone's love and
energy. Some
people have told me that I'm too positive, but you know what? If not, what?
Yeah.
If I'm negative,
you're going to be like me.
Everyone's going to be cranky.
Yeah.
We already have a Fabi, so.
She can be positive and shady at the same time. Look at her.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you need someone positive like me to, like,
yeah.
I kid. But yeah, so go to spreadideasmovepeople.com. I have photography there. I'm a lifestyle photographer. I do graphic design. I do podcasting, of course. And right there in Spread Ideas is everything. That's my home. I struggled for a while. I didn't know if I wanted to do different websites, but I was like, that's too much.
Yeah, it's just one website for all your stuff. Yeah. Good.
And you people deal with it that I do a lot. I paint. I illustrate, too. I'm this kind of artiste. I'm an artiste.
You're a creative.
I'm a creative.
All around.
For sure.
Yeah.
So spreadideasmovepeople.com, at Cafe Con Pan Podcast on Instagram, at Kobiux, if you want to follow my personal. Uh-huh. You want to know why Kobiux or no?
Yeah.
I can explain. It's because of my last name.
How do you spell it? Kobiux.
C-O-B-I-U-X.
Okay.
Bilingual, you know?
And your last name, Covarrubias.
Uh-huh. So Kobiux started because people didn't remember my friend in middle school. Mm-hmm. No se acordaba de Pamela. So she was like, I'm just going to call you Covarrubias. And then Covarrubias got too long. So then she started calling me Cova. So for a lot of people, I'm Cova. And then Kobiux, because in Mexico, have you heard like todos terminan con Yux? Sí. Uh-huh. And so I'm Kobiux, and I've always been Kobiux for many things. So on Twitter, I'm also Kobiux. On Facebook, Cafe Con Pan Podcast and the Support Brown Podcast group, Facebook group.
Awesome.
Where we share.
Tell everybody about that group.
The Support Brown Podcast is a platform, and on Facebook, it's a group that allows our listeners to share the podcast that they're listening to. So there could be more exposure to other brown podcasts, and we can start supporting each other.
That's awesome. I'm going to join today.
Yeah, I added you already.
Oh, well, I'm already there.
Yeah. So that's where you can find me. And thank you for allowing me to share my story. Thank you for being a judgment-free zone. Thank you for understanding and for not asking me why I didn't report it.
Oh, of course. Thank you again so much for coming. And this is the beginning of so many more collaborations,
yeah, for sure.
I'm sure.
Yes.
Because we love supporting other podcasts. And yeah, you're definitely going to hear more from Pam on Latinos Who Lunch.
Plus, you're only 4 hours away.
Yeah,
and
I know.
See me more.
Oh my God, we gotta
Vamos.
Go. You gotta take me to all those restaurants
Dude.
In that episode. I want to.
Al Valle de Guadalupe con la señora esta. Vamos.
Con Lulu.
Ajá.
No, con la guerrera está en Ensenada, güey.
Vámonos a Ensenada.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, and as always, you can find us at latinoswholunch.com. You can also send us emails at latinoswholunch@gmail.com. Once again, thank you to Publicus for sponsoring this episode. And if you can do us a favor right now and go to iTunes, rate us 5 stars.
5 stars only.
And that helps us a lot. The more reviews we get, the more visible we are. And visibility is key,
essential.
Is essential. Wow.
Big words.
Yes, follow us at Latinos Who Lunch on Instagram, on Twitter. We're on Facebook. And a special shout out goes to our intern, Carla Lagunas. And thank you to the band Brownout for our intro and outro music. I'm Fabi Fav.
And this is Babilito.
Stay shining. Bye.